It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Historically, labor unions have been a major force in U.S. politics, but have political losses in recent years changed their role? We discuss how legislation in Wisconsin has impacted the power of labor unions and how union affiliation does or doesn't matter in the 2018 midterms. Are you a member of a labor union? Does it impact the way you vote? What do you think about candidates who get the support of pro-union groups? And what about anti-union candidates? 800-642-1234. Dan Bice is a watchdog columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel covering Wisconsin government and politics. Dan, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me, John.
So historically, let's talk about the role of labor unions in politics.
They've been pretty powerful here in Wisconsin and nationally. There is a reason that Scott Walker went after labor unions with Act 10 in 2011. You know, the state, Wisconsin, was the first state to allow its public sector employees to bargain collectively. And as a result of that and other things, the unions became very powerful and became a major part of the democratic infrastructure, providing money and, more importantly, people to get out to vote to help Democratic candidates.
So you mentioned Act 10. Also, there's this thing called the Right to Work Law. How did those things impact union power in Wisconsin?
It devastated them. I was talking just this morning with someone close to the governor, and they said that they broke the back of organized labor in Wisconsin. The number of members of unions in the state dropped precipitously. Some unions lost more than 50% of their members. WEAC, the teachers union, suffered major losses, ended up laying off more than 40% of their staff. I think overall the numbers dropped from about 355,000 members of unions in Wisconsin down to a little more than 200,000 a couple years ago. And there's been a little bit of a resurgence up to about 230,000, but still they're not in the position that they used to be.
Randy Bryce is an iron worker who's running for Paul Ryan's seat in the Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. How has union support driven his campaign?
Well, he's a union member. He was very active with Act 10 and, in fact, got arrested for his activities with legislation and stuff and protests. He's in a tough district because Donald Trump won the 1st Congressional District by a good 10, 11 points just 2 years ago. And Paul Ryan, who's decided not to run again and for whose seat he's running, has not dismantled his campaign infrastructure. His campaign is still very active there. Unions are helping him a good deal. But what we haven't seen yet is a big insurgence from outside national labor unions. Of all the money that Randy's raised so far, I think it's a little over $6 million, about $250,000 comes from unions and union groups. So it's there, it's significant, but, there's a reason that he's appears to be trailing in the polls right now.
Well, it is a tough district. Is Randy Bryce an outlier, or are there other union-endorsed candidates elsewhere in Wisconsin?
Well, the unions, that district is more red than the rest of Wisconsin. People like to say the state is purple, and I tend to think that it's extremely red in some places, extremely blue in some places. But the race to watch is the governor's race, Scott Walker against Tony Evers. And the local labor unions, interestingly, did not back up and support Tony Evers in the primary. They instead supported another candidate, Malin Mitchell, who finished second in the race. But Tony won by a sizable margin, and it wasn't long after the primary victory that he received. So far, he's received $700,000-$800,000 from labor unions, and there have been a few national unions that have moved in and started, particularly in trying to get out the vote efforts. And the main union so far that I'm told is the SEIU, the Service Employees International, is very active in Milwaukee right now, trying to do what it can to make sure its members get out and the other people not affiliated with the unions get out.
Dan Bice is a watchdog columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel covering Wisconsin government and politics. We're talking about the impact of unions in the midterm election and whether or not they still have any power. Speaking of unions, how has the AFL-CIO, which is one of Wisconsin's largest unions, made an impact on state politics in Wisconsin during these midterms?
They have had an impact so far. It's an interesting situation for Wisconsin because they just recently had a convention here in Milwaukee, and they've made a major switch in who runs the union. Phil Neuenfeld had run the union for the last 8 years, and he's being replaced by a new leader of the organization, and they've had problems just like everybody else in the state in terms of losing membership, and in terms of the national influence in the unions as Wisconsin. You know, in 2012, when there was the recall race, a lot of national unions came here and thought that they could beat Scott Walker, and they didn't. And then in 2016. The union state didn't come into the state, and Donald Trump ends up taking the state, which was a big surprise to everybody. So I think we're looking this time at sort of a middle path where the unions aren't going to be extremely influential this time, but they are going to be here in some numbers, greater than they were in 2016.
Let's try and work a quick call in here. We'll go to John in Marquette. And, John, we're almost out of time in this segment, so I'll ask you to be as brief as you can.
Okay, real quick, yeah, what I see as a major problem, I've been a union member for 25 years, is that the Democratic Party, as it moves further to the left, is pulling further away from the members that actually, I'm talking about the mining people, steel workers, and I think what happened was Trump came in and he talked more to the needs and desires and the future as far as industrial future, then the Democrats have been talking to us, and I've always voted Democrat, but I just can't continue to support the party that's typically anti-mining and anti-logging and everything
okay.
else.
I'm all right. Curious. So, Dan, the unions and the Democratic Party have often been aligned. Is that starting to change?
Actually, there's been a tension for a while. You know, in the recall elections, the unions did not pick the candidate who won. They backed Kathleen Falk. She loses in the primary, and Tom Barrett wins. This time, the unions picked Malin Mitchell, and he doesn't win. Tony Evers wins. So there is a tension between the two, the unions frequently pushing the party to the left. And, you know, that is an internal struggle. How much does the Democratic Party allow the unions to dictate or control the direction that they take?
Does union support usually favor one party or another over another, or does it depend on the specific union?
Most union support supports the Democrats, but there are two unions in the state that have backed Scott Walker from the beginning, and that's the Milwaukee Police Association and the Milwaukee Firefighters Association. And what's interesting this time is the Milwaukee Firefighters have not endorsed anybody, and I've yet to see whether the Milwaukee Police has endorsed anybody. I just wrote to the head of the organization last week and asked whether they had announced their endorsement and got no response.
All right.
That would be very interesting if they don't, because Act 10 specifically excluded police and firefighters from the measures in that legislation.
All right, Dan, thanks. Thanks for joining us this morning. I appreciate your time.
Sure, thanks.
Dan Bice is a watchdog columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel covering Wisconsin government and politics. Coming up next, in an era of Me Too and sexual assault allegations, what should good sex education entail? Our guest has advice for parents and educators looking to navigate the waters of 21st century sex ed. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.